Chapter 38. Kate had left a full pot of coffee for me the next morning. Grateful, I poured a cup, found his note, and sank into a dining chair. I rubbed my blurry eyes and read, "Please stay inside. The doctor said you shouldn't move around much. I'll call later." Ulysses laid his head on my knee, and I reached down to smooth his silky ears. What a night! When the crowd that gathered here last night, consisting of Cade, Gerald, Cora Dee, Miss Anne, Pat, and Jackie, saw my disheveled and muddy state, to say nothing of the lump on my head, they carted me off to the emergency room. So I now wore a bandage under my hair and was fortified with pain pills and directions from a stern Dr. Gormley that I must stay inside, eat lightly, and rest. He would get no argument from me. Every bone in my body ached, as did my head, and I had about as much strength as Penny. Plus, lying out on the wet ground had brought on a cold. All in all, I felt miserable. Since I refused to spend the night in the hospital for observation, Cade had slept on my sofa to keep an eye on me. I was grateful for his concern, but today I was even more grateful to just be left alone, so I could be miserable in private and not have to talk to anybody. No need for all those warnings from my friends about staying indoors, not opening the door unless I trusted the person on the porch, and being wary of unknown callers on the phone. I agreed with it all. I was through with being brave and foolhardy. I could have been killed last night. Why wasn't I? If the person who caused this awful headache and achy cold was the same one who had killed 3 times before, why didn't he snuff me out too? Sneezing, I poured another cup of coffee and took it and the Afghan to the sofa. I just wanted to sleep. I didn't want to think about murderers or scraps of material hiding under bushes or wills or greedy relatives. The coffee relaxed me, contrary to what caffeine is supposed to do, and the Afghan felt warm around my shoulders. Penny snuggled against me, and Ulysses crowded in beside us. I set my empty cup on the floor, scooted lower under the warmth of the Afghan, and slept. I dreamed I smelled potato soup. When I opened my eyes, Miss Anne stood at the kitchen stove, stirring a pot of the actual stuff. She turned and smiled at me as I sat up. "That smells wonderful," I muttered, stifling a yawn. "How long have you been here?" "Since a few minutes ago," she said. "I have a key, you know." "Do you feel like eating just a bit? Nothing like good old potato soup to put strength in the body." I smiled and threw back the Afghan, dislodging Penny. Ulysses had deserted me in favor of looking hopefully up at the soup. "Yes, thanks. There's really no need for you to mess up your day by babysitting me, although I certainly appreciate your being here. I'm feeling much better." I stood up, waiting until the room stopped spinning, to walk toward the table. Miss Anne shook her head and spooned the thick soup into a bowl. "There's no place I'd rather be. I'll stay until Pat and Jackie get here, and they'll stay until Cade comes home again tonight." Tears stung my eyes. Did anyone ever have such wonderful friends? "Now that's ridiculous," I said, and grabbed a napkin to cover my sneeze. "I'll be fine by myself. Ulysses will be here to guard the house, and I'm really not an invalid." Miss Anne frowned at me. "You have a concussion, plus the fact that somebody nearly killed you. You're just lucky you have such a hard head." I took a deep breath. "You're right. My guardian angel is working overtime." "He gets no rest at all," Miss Anne said, putting the bowl of soup and a glass of tea on the table. "Fill a bowl for yourself," I insisted. She shook her head. "I ate a bite before coming, and I'm not hungry. How are you feeling?" "Like someone conked me on the head and I lay on the wet ground for hours," I said, taking a spoonful of the soup. "This is delicious." "I wonder if whoever hit you thought he had killed you," Miss Anne mused, sinking into a chair opposite mine. I shuddered. Maybe something scared him off before he could finish the job. Oh, Nettie, I do wish you weren't so inquisitive, she said. I grinned. You were going to say nosy, weren't you? She nodded. Well, yes, as a matter of fact, I was. The hot soup, plus Miss Anne's concern, did a lot to make me feel better. Wrapping the shawl around my shoulders, I walked back to the sofa. Come sit down and talk to me, I invited. I guess I don't want to be alone after all. She smiled. That's good, because I see Pat and Jackie have just arrived. She went to the door to let them in, and then poured more tea. We all sat around the fireplace, which didn't contain a fire, but seemed to add a certain cozy feel to the room. Okay, Pat said. Spill it, Sherlock. You mumbled something last night about trying to find a scrap of somebody's tablecloth. I must not have understood, because that doesn't sound like much to risk getting killed. Jackie frowned. Don't be hard on her. She doesn't feel all that well. Her eyes are bloodshot, and I'm sure her head is throbbing. It's all right. I'll feel better if I talk about it, I said. So I told my three closest friends about sighting the cloth in a picture I'd taken off the Carver farm, about the trip to the estate, finding the scrap, then losing it. And the longer I talked, the more I realized what a foolish thing I'd done. My eyes started to water as I said, But the thing I'm sorriest about is causing worry to the people I love best in all the world. And now look at you all. You've given up a good part of your day to stay with your wayward friend. I'm so sorry. Miss Anne went to the bathroom, brought back a box of tissues, and handed it to me. Give me one, Pat said, tears running down her face. Jackie grabbed a tissue as Miss Anne passed it around, then sat down on the sofa beside me. We were all four squeezed together, but it felt good. If we aren't the beatenest, Miss Anne said, why are we crying anyway? We're all safe. The Lord kept Nettie alive, and I realize how blessed I am to have you girls in my life. We should be on top of the world. Pat blew her nose and giggled. Girls? It has been a long time since someone called me a girl, like maybe 30 years ago. I know what you're saying, Miss Anne, but, you know, I don't think Ned or any of us will be truly safe until whoever's running around the county killing people is caught and put away for life, Jackie said. I nodded. That's true, but I'm going to behave and leave it up to Kate and Gerald and the sheriff and whoever else is working on this. I'm through with playing detective. Done. I'm going to settle in with my animals and think about giving a shower for Cora Dee and live a quiet life, starting now. I tried not to see the looks of disbelief on the faces of my friends, and I ignored that niggling little flame of curiosity that, try as I might, wouldn't quite be quenched. That silly scrap of cloth probably had a perfectly innocent reason to be out in the middle of the pasture, caught on a bush a few feet from where a murder had taken place. I would put it out of my mind. However, I felt sure it was important. I just didn't know how or why. When my head quit hurting, maybe the answer would come to me. Maybe it would be like that little light bulb in cartoons that illustrated a bright idea. But, of course, if the answer popped into my head, I'd just tell Kate about it. That would be the sensible thing to do, wouldn't it?